It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Phil Goff, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm just fine, thanks. What a beautiful day we had yesterday.
It was
spring day.
Very nice.
And daylight savings at the end of the day. I wandered out with my wife and my daughter, and we did one of the regional parks, Duda's Regional Park, and walked over the hills, and really felt like summer was on the way.
Yes, it's actually, really felt like it's turned a little corner. And we're going to talk a little bit about some summery things, especially around beaches. But first, big news, we are moving to level one, which is very exciting. That's happening on Wednesday at 11:59 p.m. And what's this going to mean? We're back to normal, basically. What's the advice that the council's giving out for how people stay safe at level one?
Yep. Well, the first thing is obviously big welcome to going back to level one, and we'll get to see the Bledisloe Cup in Auckland, and that will be an event too. Look, it's great. Is it timely? Yep. We've had 10 consecutive days now without community transmission, so I think that gives everybody the confidence to move into level one. What are the rules? You still are encouraged to physically distance, but that's not a requirement now in bars, restaurants and offices. Businesses will still need their QR codes for the COVID Tracer app. Now, I see on the news that's halved in the last week, and it's not a big deal to do it. And if you do it, and there does happen to be an outbreak, that's really helpful information. So still encourage people to do that.
Mm.
Basic hygiene, obviously, washing your hands, keeping surfaces clean, coughing and sneezing into your elbow. If you're sick, most importantly, stay at home, get tested. And, of course, the restrictions are still on at the border. And, in fact, they are being progressively fine-tuned and toughened, including for aircrew now. So, big celebration. But, look, don't celebrate too much, because we live in a world where this virus is rampant. You see it in the States, 40,000 cases a day.
Mm.
You see it in India, where, you know, the estimates are 6 million, but actually the reality is probably two or three times that amount. Europe, still massive increases with the second wave of COVID-19 going through. So celebrate, but be careful.
And that advice about contact tracing seems to be one that is being quite crucial this time round, of making sure that you keep a record of where you're going. What is the best way to do that? Still the COVID app?
App, I think. I just do it out of habit now. Every now and again I forget, I've got to confess. But, you know, when I come into work in the morning or I go out to an event, I'll just flick it onto the phone. It takes about 1 minute, if that, and it's a sensible precaution. I was also talking to the PM on the... when was it? Weekend? Monday yesterday, about the saliva test, because I think if we can get that saliva test going, it's far less intrusive and you can get results back in 15 minutes. And the PM says, look, they are doing work on that, but it's still not as reliable as the test through the nostrils. And I've seen at different places that it may be, there may be up to a 20% error rate. Well, that's still not as good as what you'd want to see. But at the moment, testing has fallen back a bit too. I think it was down to about 4,000 from the heights of 10,000 when we had community transmission.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I do understand why people aren't doing that. You know, if you say, well, look, there is no community transmission at the moment, therefore, why do we need to? And it really is because actually community transmission could reoccur at some time without notice. And if we haven't been doing these things, we're on the back foot. So I think, you know, what we're trying to do in future, if we get another community transmission outbreak, to see if it's possible with all of the things we have in place to deal without that, without having to go back into lockdown. And, you know, the big thing I should say in celebration of level one is all of those businesses that have been really hard hit.
Mm.
They'll be able to work back to normal. That is the normal with our borders still closed.
And just to confirm for people who are maybe feeling a little bit nervous still or worried about, you know, getting back out and about, council facilities, they're going to have the QR code well displayed for people?
It's still a legal requirement on all businesses. So, yep, we have it all over the place, in the building, on the when you come into the foyer, in the lifts. So there's no real excuse. If you miss it at one point, you can use it at another. And I use Google Maps as well, so I've got a constant record of where I've been. And look, if COVID persists in the world, and God knows what's going to happen in that regard, it'll persist for the foreseeable future. We know that the balance of probabilities, there will be another outbreak, and the more we can do to contain that without having to lock down, the better. So, and you know, look, the other good, really good thing, just talking to medical people, they say, you know, we've got flu. Was at the normal seasonal flu was at the lowest level in the history of the country. And even look, I've gone right through winter without even a cold. So it shows that what we've been doing does help stop the spread of any sickness, and that makes sense. And I hope we get back into the pattern. You know, if we've got a sneeze or something like that, and a light cold, if you do need to go out, at least wear a face mask. That protects other people.
And with the public transport thing, that's been a little bit controversial, perhaps, that the government's not suggesting it should be mandatory to wear face masks on public transport at level one, but that has been maybe pushed back against by some epidemiologists who say it would be a good precaution to have. Would you still recommend people wear face masks on public transport?
Yeah, I think I would. I understand the government's position, and you lead people, but you've got to make sure that people are following, and making it mandatory might have been a self-defeating exercise. But if you're in close proximity to people, and if you don't feel safe, you know, keep your face mask on. That's a good precaution. I find the things, you know, a bit irritating, I suppose, like everybody does. But if I'm in that close contact with people, I'll still wear a face mask. Not always. If I'm walking down the street, I probably won't bother now, because it's there's no known community transmission. But in close quarters, or if I was sneezing a bit or felt I had a bit of a cold, I'd still wear the face mask.
Well, you'd be at home getting a test, wouldn't you? Of course.
Yeah, that's the first thing you do. There's a difference, you know, if you've got a heavy cold. Stay at home. Don't be a hero, because when you go to work because you're a hero, you're actually not a hero, you're a villain, because you're spreading it with everybody you work with. And, you know, there are things like that. I mean, that's why I welcome the government's announcement that they're increasing sick leave, because, you know, there are a lot of people out there that say, oh, God, I don't feel great, but I better go to work. You know, I've run out of sick leave. Actually, we want to try to...
It's not the time to be stoic.
Where people don't do that. And sometimes if you're doing it for financial reasons, because I just can't afford a day off work, I've used my 5 days sick leave, that's a great incentive for you to stay home, recover, and not infect other people.
Well, we will be able to see the benefits of moving to level one quite immediately for how voting's going to work, because, of course, early voting is open, and now people will be able to, well, people have been able to get out to the polling booth since Saturday. And what's it looking like in Auckland? How many spaces have we got where people can go and do that? And also, how do people find out where their nearest early voting spot is, Phil?
Yeah, well, how many spaces? I voted on Saturday. Couldn't wait to get there, you know, for my two ticks for the party and candidate, and the two ticks for the referendum, the referenda. There's 320 advanced voting stations in Auckland. And if you go on your smartphone to vote.nz, that will show you a map. I did exactly the same thing to get there. It shows you the polling stations on election day. It shows you and it shows you the advance voting stations as well. So there's a number in every electorate. And what did we get? We got 165,000 voted over the weekend, which was twice as much as for the equivalent period in 2017. And why vote early? I did it, one, to get it out of the way, and my grandson's got his birthday party on election day.
Priorities.
So I don't want to run any chance of not exercising my vote. But look, we don't know what's around the corner, and if you did get another community outbreak, so much better to vote now when it's safe to do so. So I'd encourage people to get out and vote now. Avoid the queues on election day. It's quick. I must have been in the polling booth for about no more than 5 minutes. Very straightforward. Take your easy vote card with you, and you don't have to have it, but if you've got that, it just enables them to check you off on the list much more quickly.
So a speedy process then, yeah.
Yeah, speedy process. But if you haven't got that, doesn't matter. They'll
you
just
can
check
still
you
go.
Up against
yeah.
the roll. They'll ask you your name, your and where you live, and you know, all the usual techniques that they do, and then really straightforward, easy to vote.
And the very last thing we just wanted to touch base on before we let you go, Phil, is a bit of touching base on the beaches, since we did have a kind of burst of early summer over the weekend. I'm seeing that Piha Surf Lifesavers are getting a $10,000 grant, which is for their emergency power setup. Are all of our sort of surf lifesaving clubs around our beaches in Tamaki Makaurau and the wider region, are they sort of getting geared up for summer, and how are they resourced at the moment? Is it looking like it's going to be quite easy for them this summer, or what are your thoughts around that?
Look, they do provide an essential service. God knows how many people would have drowned if it wasn't for the surf lifesavers. And, you know, that's particularly so at Piha. So really pleased that a council body, the Waitakere Rangers Local Board, allocated 2 weeks ago, I think, a $10,000 grant. And that was to purchase a diesel generator for the Piha Surf Lifesaving Club. I think in our 10-year plan, we've got $3.7 million allocated for surf lifesaving in the northern region, and that's because a lot of the surf clubs are a little bit tired, a little bit aged. The buildings, not the people. The people are still fit and young and vigorous and enthusiastic, but the buildings they operate out of are a bit subpar. So we've put money aside in the last 10-year budget to make sure that we can give them a boost, because we're helping them to help others. And the people they're helping are Aucklanders and visitors to Auckland, and they're saving lives. So really important, great cause.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Gough. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Thanks, Rachel. Look forward to it.
See ya.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
Thank you.